Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tongakar. On today's show, we'll hear about efforts to communicate science through story. The University of Missouri has awarded $25,000 to a group of scientists, journalists, and other communicators on campus who want to make their research more accessible to the wider public. To do this, some graduate student researchers are looking to the art of storytelling to help describe their work. KBIA's Lee Jian Chung took a trip to one of their workshops.
In a sterile white laboratory, graduate student researcher Tabitha Finch walks past tables stacked with machinery and utensils used for elephant research at the University of Missouri. As part of her research, Finch spends months visiting the low plains of Kenya to collect animal dung. That dung is then stored in a freezer at the back of the lab in small plastic tubes.
So we do research on all three species here. And for instance, these are dung samples that I collected for my research in Kenya, and the primary purpose of collecting these was to get DNA from the dung.
Every 2 weeks, Finch gets out of the lab to be part of an after-school program where graduate students teach elementary school children a little bit about what they do.
Hour-long lesson plans, but some of them were designed around our own research. I designed one using elephant dung. You know, if I talk to elementary school kids about it, their first reaction is always, ew, that's gross.
So to get these kids to lean in a little closer, Finch creates a story about the elephants.
So imagine you're a corn farmer in Iowa and an elephant comes in and eats all your corn, right? Well, we don't have elephants here in the United States, which, you know, we may be lucky about, but in Kenya, they do have elephants.
And Finch is not the only scientist on campus trying to build a narrative around their research.
A day in the life of a spider.
That's graduate student Lizzie Wright, explaining her research on insect behavior in the Ozarks.
Once upon a time, a spider wanders around in the forest floor and he sees a baby grasshopper and he decides to eat it, so it eats it. But what happens after that spider eats the grasshopper? Okay, you get less grasshoppers eating on the plants. That changes the whole process.
Wright is one of the two founders of the student-led organization Science Communication and Public Outreach, or SCAPE. The group wanted to bridge the gap between scientists and laypeople after its founders saw a disconnect between what science said about climate change and what the public thought.
Scientists tend to be very focused in their work. They get into this very narrow mindset about what they're working on, and they sometimes fail to see the kind of bigger picture humanity behind what they're doing, and they can't get unfocused enough to share their work with other people.
Wright says research funding for the sciences has been getting lower and lower each year, and scientists need to start telling their stories. So they invited professional storyteller Milbrie Birch, who also happens to be on MU's Science Communications Committee, to help teach their members about how to weave straight facts into a beginning, a middle, and an end. At the workshop, 12 graduate and undergraduate researchers sit in a horseshoe around Birch. Their research varies, but in this room, they're studying the way Birch shrieks at the sight of an imaginary spider or lowers her voice to a whisper to get her audience to listen closely.
Folktales are science in a storytelling format because they are intended, very often, particularly how and why stories from cultures around the world, to explain why the world is the way it is. Why the rooster has tail feathers and a comb, why the elephant has a long trunk, why the lightning strikes from the sky.
Do we remember better if we actually have the context of a story?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Human beings are wired for story delivery in the form of something you care about, a change. Here's the world, a change happens, here's the new world. And if it can be couched in human terms, then all the more we will be listening for it and remembering it. Numbers and place names or numbers and element names, if they don't have a human coat to hang on, then they're very easily slipped to the floor.
Birch says the nature of academia is changing in how researchers present their work.
One of my dearest friends from college is a rheumatologist. When she went to a medical college of Georgia, she was told as a newly incoming medical student that within 5 years she would not be able, no one would be able to understand what she said outside of the medical community. Now, this was said with pride. You know, it's like, sounds like a problem in the making. And now we have a whole movement in medicine called narrative medicine.
There's such strong selection in the lab for speaking the secret language and learning the secret handshake and communicating with other scientists in their language that it's really easy to forget the kind of language you need to speak to a broader audience.
Dr. Jack Schultz is the director of the Bond Life Sciences Center and a plant sciences professor. He is also on the Science Communications Committee with Birch. Schultz says he has been looking for new ways to communicate science for around 20 to 30 years, yet some scientists still remain skeptical of using non-traditional methods.
In fact, there's kind of a, as far as I can perceive, a bit of a negative pushback about PR or advertising as a component of science. Scientists really feel that the facts should speak for themselves.
It can be very intimidating to have somebody as uninhibited as I can be when I'm telling a story kind of jumping up there in the midst of you. It's sort of like, no audience participation, please, no audience participation. People have to kind of get through that moment, you know.
Back at the workshop, Birch begins to list off some of the key storytelling points. Explain your jargon, gauge your audience, and use your body. Elephant researcher Tabitha Finch is already thinking about how to engage her kids next.
I really like that she mentioned incorporating folk tales as sort of a background, especially because I study a species, the elephant, that there are lots of folk tales spanning many different cultures and histories on. So that's something I've never considered, and I want to read up on that.
And quite possibly, in the near future, upcoming researchers in fields such as insect behavior or elephant biology may begin bridging the gap between science, fact, and fiction with a once upon a time. And maybe, just maybe, a happily ever after. Li Jiancheng, KBIA News.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. To hear this episode and others, just check out our website, kbia.org. I'm Raymond Tongakar. Thanks for listening.